And Muskegon, welcome. Don't touch that dial. Like we say, don't touch it, don't touch it. It's time for 22. I am your host, Gregory T. Roberts, for this April Fool's Day, 2022. A couple things. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, you can go to our Facebook site, 103.7 The Beat, or M106 Rock and Soul, to give us your questions. I want to get this in because the show goes so fast, we never get this in. But to the producer, I'm Lady J. I want to thank her, plus the rest of the staff, Eric Q, and so on. PA, if he ever gets back. One other thing, actually several other things. You have seen and heard enough about Chris Rock and Will Smith, and I have an opinion on it, but you heard enough of it. I just say this. Why is it that always that black men have to attack black men for approval of a statue? Long story, won't go there. But I will bring in my assistant here, one of the twins.
Hey, my brother, how are you?
Pastor Melvin C. Burns II. Brother, how you doing?
I'm good. You attempted to go there and I saw you pull yourself back.
Did you see me? You see me rein myself in?
I saw you put that work in. we talked out on that subject.
Yeah, it's talked out. And I want to say good afternoon to Ms. Reed. How you doing? Good afternoon, people that are watching today's show. You know what? One of the things that we don't do a lot is talk about finance. We talk about finance when it comes down to maybe our table and the gas, but we don't even have a clue how or what's going on. And we are here to educate you. And so today I get to bring in a great friend. Not only a great friend, but he is a great friend to the community. What he does for the Big Red Foundation is just wonderful. And he has an insurance agency. I'm going to let him talk about and introduce himself. Please put your hands together. Coming to the stage now, Mr. Tony Williams. How you doing, sir?
Good afternoon, Brother Roberts. Great to be on your show. Pastor Burns, how are you today?
I'm good. It's good to have you here today.
Thanks for the introduction.
Why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself? And while you do that, tell them about your show, because people, if you're not watching this show on Saturdays, you're missing something.
Well, actually, it is a financial show that we put together about 5 years ago. PA urged Chauncey Williams and myself, Tony Williams, to come up with a show that would help educate the community on finances and planning for your financial success, simply because if you don't plan for success, then you can plan for failure. And unfortunately, that is something that our community just really hasn't embraced and tried to seek that knowledge as to how can I do that? I work an average job. I don't have a whole lot of money, but there are things that individuals can do that can help them manage and hopefully create some form of wealth without having to be a millionaire.
Isn't it amazing that people just don't understand that they're one crisis away, $400 crisis. Mm. They're one crisis away and nothing saved up.
Absolutely. I've seen an article the other day talked about the Generation X, if you will. Basically lives 50% lives paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. Wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with being consumers, right? We all know how to be consumers. Mm-hmm. We can buy the latest cell phone. We can buy the latest Jordans or the latest set of jeans that in some cases may cost you $200 or $300. But if you are a consumer, then you will never, ever create any form of wealth, because all the discretionary income that you may come up with, you're spending it. And that's not how you create wealth.
We talked about that. Just fabulous. You got the 22 inch rims. You got your nails done. Your hair did. You're looking sharp and looking good. And you're just broke.
One pothole away from financial ruin.
Yeah, one pothole away from one pothole.
One pothole. Absolutely.
Marianne Zutz, how you doing, Marianne? Says Saturdays with Chauncey Williams and Tony Williams to learn financial practices. What time on Saturdays?
3 p.m. on 103.7 The Beat.
Now, is it a video?
It's an audio. It's all audio. It's
just audio only.
Pre-recorded 30-minute show. And, we try to stick to the financials, but Chauncey and I are both avid sports guys, and we do spend a small portion of the show talking about sports, and then we get into it. So right. We kind of have fun with that as well.
Just going back to Marianne Zutz, says that's because a lot of us in Generation X is so broken in the inside, they try to look and put together on the outside. Thank you, Marianne. So Tony, we got some great news today and a pre-question before we go in our topic. Today it was announced that unemployment is at a 3.9%, which is fantastic. 400,000 jobs created, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And the person said, is that good? Right. Yes, it is good. It said, well, the next sentence is, it was reported that wages grew 0.7% in the same period, which is great. Here comes the news. Why inflation eats us up at 7%.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, this inflation is a product of a perfect storm, right? We went through the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Pandemic caused a lot of disruption in the supply chain, in the economy, in the lives of individuals. And coming out of that, there was a lot of pent up demand, right? People stopped going out to eat. We stopped really you couldn't go buy cars because they weren't producing cars. The only really commodity that was available was grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, when the pandemic started to subside and the government got involved in the stimulus packages, it provided this great influx of cash into the economy. So when that happened, we have all this pent up demand. So now people want to go out and buy and purchase goods and services. Well, mm-hmm. they weren't available because of the supply chain, which is still not available today in certain areas. Mm-hmm. So it's the old adage about supply and demand, right? When demand is high, supply is low, the prices increase.
Mm-hmm.
That's inflation in its truest sense.
Mm-hmm.
So the next piece to that, we were coming out of this pandemic. The government had done certain things to help ease the backlog in the supply chain, increasing the amount of dock workers. And, there was a shortage of truckers, couldn't mm-hmm. get all the goods to the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And we were starting to look really, really good until the outbreak in Ukraine took place.
Okay.
And that, again, was a part of this perfect storm, because this country relies on gasoline, right?
Yes.
This country the truckers in this country, the people that drive their automobiles, this, you know, the manufacturers of automobiles in this country is what really drives America.
Mm-hmm.
So you increase the price of oil because they're saying now, because of the war, the supply of oil is going to be diminished. The OPEC leaders in Saudi Arabia said that they were not willing to pump additional oil to offset the decline in the European market that provides oil to America. So now we have inflation. We have gas prices that are, you know, in our area, we're floating around $4 a gallon. California, areas like that, they're $5, getting close to $6.
Mm-hmm.
The number that they don't pay attention to is the price of diesel.
Oh my God.
Diesel
gosh.
Oil.
Almost a dollar more, yeah.
Diesel oil is, you know, $1 to $2 more than gasoline. Mm-hmm. What products use diesel? The truckers, right?
The truckers.
Yes, sir.
And they're getting hit.
And they're getting hit, right? A lot of the independent truckers, right? They have to go out and purchase this diesel oil on their own behalf and then pass that on to whoever, you know, is purchased their services.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's going to increase the price that it takes to get goods and services to the marketplace. Trains use diesel. Ships use diesel.
Mm-hmm.
All the sources of transportation that is necessary to get, again, the goods and services to the marketplace rely on diesel, which is going to, again, increase the price of that product, which is already in demand.
Mm-hmm.
So now inflation is at an all-time high. So the government says, the feds, okay, what we're going to do is raise the interest rates. And what interest rates are designed to do is slow the economy so the consumption is not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Remember back in the 80s,
yes,
interest rates hit 20%. They were close to 20% in the 80s. And the purpose of that was to stop inflation. We probably went too far, which caused a recession. So now Paul Volcker is trying to take a more deliberate process in trying to reduce inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's by raising it. You know, we just had our 0.25 increase. We're going to see at least 2 to 3 more rate increases over the summer. So the purpose of the raising the interest rates is to say, okay, that home that I wanted to buy, when I was going to get it at 3%, now the interest rate is at 6%, and that's going to add probably an additional $500 to $600 on my mortgage payment monthly. So now the housing market is starting to slow. We've already seen that in the housing market, new construction and the inventory of houses. 6 months ago, guys, I'm pretty sure you could see on the news where the housing market was rampant.
Yes.
You put your house on the market for one day and people are fighting over it. You get more than what your asking price was.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's because money was so cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was really cheap to borrow money. So by rising the interest rates, hopefully that will dampen the enthusiasm for people to go out and buy homes, automobiles, major appliances, because people are now looking at the additional cost in which it will charge them to make those purchases. Now, on top of that, you lose the ability to have discretionary income because most of the goods and services you're paying for today cost 25, 30, 40% more than what they did 6 months ago.
Right.
So the money that you had hoped to save, put away for this major purchase, now is being eroded away by just your day-to-day living. So that is going to stem the appetite for demand to go out and purchase. Now, it's a delicate balance because if you go too far, what will happen is, like it did in the 80s, we'll have cars stacking up in the dealerships.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason we don't have them now is because they can't build them.
Because right? of the chips.
The supply chain, the chips again.
Mm-hmm.
So used cars now are at a premium.
Right. For those people that,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's just so much money that's in the bucket. Right? Right. If you're working every day, there's just so many dollars that you have that you can spend. And of course, it's almost like when you run a business, there's a fixed cost and there's a variable cost. Mm-hmm. Fixed cost says, I know what I have to pay each month for my rent. I know what I have to pay for my mortgage. The variable cost comes in when you look at what you pay have to pay for utilities. If they give you an increase in natural gas, that means that that's no longer a fixed cost. It's variable because it is, tied to the supply and demand.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. So most people look at a fixed cost as to how they manage a budget. Mm-hmm. But the variable cost is the external factors that can really bust your budget. And if you're not mindful, I read an article the other day, it was going to cost on average $3,000 more this year for every American to purchase goods and services that they would have purchased 6 months ago.
Wow. Got to get to some questions, Tony, real quick here.
Okay.
Mary Ann Zeus, kind of devil's advocate here on that. She said, to be fair, diesel's been $4 a gallon since the 80s when I was born. So it's less of an increase with diesel than other necessities. Michael Anthony Smith from Houston. How you doing, Michael? Said diesel fuel is cheaper to make. Russia only purchased 3% of America's oil. U.S. companies have drilling leases that they are not using, I hear you, to keep the profits high. They don't care about American consumers. And the questions to keep going. So let's attack those first.
Okay, so I guess when we say they don't care about the American consumer, that's a question for the government, or is that a question as to the oil producers?
Right. I guess my thing on that, and you can tell me if you agree or disagree. Is it true that we buy like 3% of oil from Russia?
Yes. Yes,
Why?
We do.
Why?
Because Russia is one of the major global leaders in oil production. Okay. Let me give you some statistics. 41% of the natural gas imported by the 27 nations that make up the European Union is supplied by Russia. 41%, along with 25% of the region's crude oil. So Russia's a big player in energy in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Revenue from Russia's crude oil and natural gas production generates more than 40% of the total revenue of the Russian government. Russia is the number two producer of global natural gas and the number three global producer of crude oil.
Wow. So break that. You just said a mouthful. Break that down, how that's affecting me, Joe Blow, American.
Well, one of the issues is that Russia, on the global currency, everybody wants to get paid in American dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When we purchase goods and services, on the exchange, everybody wants you to convert over to American dollars. Russia, because of the sanctions, the ruble is falling dramatically. And they're asking all the people that purchase natural gas and oil to be paid in rubles. Russia wants to use rubles in order to try to prop up their economy versus mm-hmm. U.S. dollars, because they know when they go with U.S. dollars, chances are they won't be able to use them because of the sanctions.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, Russia's a major player in oil and natural gas in Europe and around the world. Only because of the adversarial situation has it become a known fact. Prior to that, it was not talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. So now we look to the Saudis, right? We always go to the Saudis, Venezuela, say, okay, right, let's increase oil production. Well, why should they? They're going to make millions, billions of dollars by maintaining the production levels that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the callers said that we do have natural gas sources here in this country and, and crude oil.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, 1 million barrels a day is being released out of the reserves.
Right, right.
In hopes of, if not lowering, but maintaining the gas price levels. People would be amazed to hear that gas prices could go as high as $200 a barrel. Right now, we're around 100.
Right.
Yeah, it jumped to 100. And I see that it took like a 7% decrease this week.
Yeah, well, you're going to get that on the open market. But overall, it's going to continue to climb. I can't see this conflict in the Ukraine ending anytime soon. And one of the callers, they did say it right, that we are being taken advantage of.
Right.
The American public.
More question. Marianne Zutz says, because Americans that control the oil want to hold on to it until the day comes that the world has no choice but to come to us for it. It's all about the money for them down the road. They don't care about what happened to the normal citizens right now or Aaron 10 years from now.
Okay. Well, you know, part of the issue was that in Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, a lot of the oil producers wouldn't pump oil because they couldn't make any money.
Right.
The price of gasoline wasn't high enough.
Right.
Now, back during the pandemic, there's the sweet oil that they do the benchmark on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a certain time during the pandemic, they were actually paying truckers to come and take the oil,
right,
so they could have room to store the additional oil that they were coming in off the tankers.
Mm-hmm.
They were almost giving it away.
Yeah.
Why? Because of supply and demand. Nobody was driving. I don't know. You remember driving around during the pandemic right at the start of it? You could drive down Apple Street, Wood Street, getting
you can shoot a cannon down Apple Street and not hit anything.
Yeah.
No. So absolutely. So and I don't know what that number is for the American oil producers, where they think that it is profitable to make money selling and drilling for American oil.
Mm-hmm.
But she's absolutely right. There is going to come a point in time when those drillers will have to start drilling. If we start looking at, you know, $5, $6, $7 a gallon, I'm pretty sure they're making profits on those. And then the other caveat to this whole discussion is the green energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This has forced a lot of the companies that were involved in the technology of green energy to go into the fast lane.
Mm-hmm.
You go to any of the dealerships now and put in an order for electric vehicle, you're 6 months at best to a year out, because people have just gotten fed up with this oil game.
Yeah.
And they're willing to go and sacrifice this luxury of, you know, of pulling up to a gas station, purchasing their gas versus having a electrical outlet at their home. They can charge their vehicle. You're going to be limited probably to the miles that you can drive. But again, this is all coming around the technology of improving those electric cars,
mm-hmm,
right? Where they want to be able to drive those cars 1,000 miles on a charge.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ford Motor Company, F-150, their electric vehicle, they have been marketing this vehicle to the point where during a storm, right, if you've got a full charge on your Ford F-150, you can use that baby to run your household.
Mm-hmm.
I see
that's
that.
A selling point.
Yeah,
I see that.
Plug the house in, huh?
Yeah, plug your car in. Pastor Mark C. Burns.
Well, so much good stuff. So let me go back to think now. The restrictions on OPEC, those predate the pandemic, or is it during the pandemic when OPEC first cut back on their production?
Well, I would say it was during the pandemic, right? Okay. Because they realized that if we continue to pump it, we have nowhere to take it.
Right.
Tankers are full. They're sitting out here in the Suez Canal. Mm-hmm. We can't get the product to market. So why continue to pump the oil?
Okay.
Okay.
Now, the 1 million a day, I saw that earlier in the week. I think, what is that, maybe a little under 1% of what we use a day in this country?
I would think that is a very good point, Pastor, about 1% of consumption in this country for this 1 million gallons of this reserve.
So that is it really more of a political, psychological thing that they do that's done than more so than, you know, than it really affecting the, maybe, I don't know if that's a few little cents that we saved this week, but it really won't affect the overall price very much, will it?
No, it's all for politics. It's all for, you know, getting those ratings up for the administration. You got to do something, right? And you just tell the American public, this is what we're doing. And then some people take a sigh of relief. But overall, it's not even a Band-Aid in connection to what we're actually paying for gasoline.
Yeah. And let me ask this one question.
Go ahead.
Now, I hear people say, if we hadn't stopped the XL pipeline, we wouldn't be in this situation.
I can't agree with that one. Okay. Because I don't know how far they were along in the completion of the pipeline.
Right.
So, but I guess, you know, you'll get all the Monday morning quarterbacks, right, with these kind of situations that has a vested interest in trying to make sure that we get those pipelines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, going to a question or comment. Marianne says, what about the cost of the lives of those mining the stuff needed for the electric cars and the microchips? The workers overseas that mine it and assemble it are treated shabby too. Politics and processes worldwide need to reform. Your comment, Tony?
Well, we've always said that about tennis shoes, the clothes we wear.
Break it down, brother.
This is nothing new. That happens in the world, right? One of the things about China is that they have these camps where people work 80 hours a week, giving very little, you know, money in their work camps. And that's one of the issues back when the NBA was having their problems with China, the human rights issue. And a lot of folks were saying, you know, don't bite the hand that feeds you, that kind of thing. But, unfortunately, guys, this is something that's been a part of the global economy for years. You know, we don't need to talk about slavery, but we can go back as far as slavery when it talks about people being taken advantage of in an economic way that a few benefits from it.
Well, you know, people don't really even realize that, like you said, in China in the tall buildings, they have suicide nets around the buildings because people want to get out, you know, and they want to get out. I got more. I want to go to this one, and then we're going to go to commercial break. Back to Houston, Texas, with Michael Anthony Smith. Again, American companies can't produce these products, but they don't want to pay the higher wages.
Totally agree. Okay, you guys remember back in the, 60s, 70s, when we talked about buying products from China, from Japan, rather?
It was a joke.
They were considered junk.
Right.
Japan makes junk. But we were prone to buy American at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Name me a television that is built in America. Right? We used to have Magnavox.
Wow.
Right? Magnavox, GE basically got out of it. But the reason why there's no television producers in this country is because they can produce a lot cheaper in Japan.
But we sit up and complain about that, but we want that 85-inch TV for $400.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, you know, and we do all have complaints about things, but the consumer controls this to a degree. You know, you said earlier, we're consumers. And we don't want to accept responsibility. We really control some of these things.
We do. You know, we don't boycott anything anymore, do we?
Yeah.
Some point in time, you know.
The stuff we don't use and watch. You know?
Right. He would say, well, we're going to boycott those products because we don't like the human rights issues of the country and how they treat people. So we're going to boycott them. We won't buy the products. No, that doesn't happen anymore.
Right, right. Listen, guys, we're at the bottom of the hour. It's 2:30. When we come back, we're going to focus just on how the Ukraine and Russia, how that is affecting you. Our guest today is Tony Williams. Of course, you're here with Pastor Merrill C. Burns and me, Gregory T. Roberts. April Fool's Day. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
The wait is over. The all-new Umoja Radio Network, home to over 40 black-owned radio stations and podcasts, is here for you. Connect to the world's fastest-growing collection of unapologetically black and proud media, from podcasts to independent black-owned radio stations, and access to the important news and music you need. Umoja Radio is from our culture, by our culture, for our culture. The all-new Umoja Radio is available right now on Google Play and the Apple Store. Join the movement. Be empowered.
The second annual I Am Her Feminine Hygiene Drive, supporting young ladies from Ghana, Africa, in need of everyday essentials and feminine hygiene products, was a great success. Thanks to the generosity of our community and organizations like Period.org, Muskegon Heights Public School Academy, Confident Cosmetics, Muskegon Heights Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta, Inc., and everyone who made a contribution, hundreds of young ladies and village members received essential items. The community made a lasting impact with more than 10,000 sanitation items donated. If you would like to help, donations can be made year-round by dropping off items in the donation shed at the Mays and Wright Media Center, located at 1877 Peck Street, or making a contribution to paypal.me/1037thebeat. For more information, call 231-727-5007. Thank you for supporting I Am Her Foundation.
And welcome back. April Fool's Day, the 2:00 and 2:00. I want to get this comment in, another comment, and then we're going to go to Ukraine, Russia. Marianne Zutz says China also implemented catch nets on those work facilities to prevent suicides due to how they are worked over 3 years, not seeing family and not even making enough money to buy the product they make, and sleeping in quarters that are cramped in a submarine. And that is caused because of we wanted to buy stuff cheap.
Yes, sir.
We don't want to make stuff here.
No, not if you can make it cheaper over there, because it's all about the stockholders, right? Stockholders are the individuals that the CEOs and the board of directors answer to. And when you're not making money, two things are going to happen. People are going to stop purchasing your stock, or the CEOs and his administration will get fired.
Tony, say that again, because people need to understand. They're blaming it on the president. They're blaming it on everybody. It's what you just said. Let me pass the plate, because you're preaching good. Say it one more time, brother.
Okay. Companies, CEOs, the board of directors work for the stockholders. And stockholders are the people that purchase their stocks in order to make money. And if they're not making money, two things are going to happen. People are going to stop purchasing their stock, or the CEO and his staff will be fired. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a good example of a company that we know a lot about, but rarely really dig deep into the financials. And that's Ford Motor Company. You look at the stock of Ford Motor Company versus the stock of a Amazon. Mm-hmm. Ford Motor Company been around a long, long time, right? Mm-hmm. You can go in and purchase, tell you exactly what Ford stock is selling for today, and give you an example of why people buy Ford stock versus others. Okay, Ford stock today. And I have to admit, I've been a shareholder. Okay, shares of stock for Ford is selling for $16.59.
Really?
Doesn't seem like a lot of money. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So if I buy a share of Ford stock, the appreciation value, I'm not going to make a lot of money, right? The fluctuation of a Ford stock might go, let's see, 52-week high, $17.15, low
$16.34. Okay.
Now, what Ford does do is they pay dividends.
There you go.
All right. So if I have 100,000 shares of Ford Motor Company stock, at the end of the year, they're going to give me $2 per share in dividends. Do the math.
That's good. And that's good stuff, Tony, because we get caught up in looking at the price, you know, who stock the highest selling and all that. And you know, and not looking at those dividends or returns that are coming back.
Absolutely. Now, Google, right? $3,000 a share, man.
Yeah, yeah.
$3,000 a share.
Man.
But I'm going to get to the Ukraine. I got to finish this.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What Google is preparing to do is a 20-for-1 stock split. Unheard of.
Really?
Wow.
Unheard of. Most companies do a 2-for-1, right?
20-for-1.
20-for-1. If the stock is selling for $100, what they're going to do is they're going to split it. So now each stock is worth $50, but instead of one share, you're going to have two. Okay.
Wow.
The purpose of the 20-for-1 stock split is to make it affordable and attractive to the to the stock buyers, right? How many people can go out and buy? I mean, you'd be lucky to buy one share of Google stock at $3,000, right? and hope to get any kind of appreciated value out of it, because right now Google's not paying dividends.
Okay.
Wow.
It's all on the appreciated value.
$3,000 a share.
Yeah. Yeah. It started, the IPO for Amazon was $16 a share. Back in the 70s. Okay. It was a bookstore.
Wow. And also, I was just coming in and seeing that Amazon in, I believe, New York decide to unionize. So watch out for that. So anyway, let's get to this Ukraine-Russia thing and how that is affecting us every day. The one thing that bothers me about this Russia-Ukraine thing, Tony, is that we couldn't get bills passed here to fix roads or to help this country. But yet, when it came down to Ukraine, they're spending money and it's just going as fast as it can. Okay, so let's start there.
Okay, politics again, right? We're talking politics on a global scale now. NATO. This is what this is about, is NATO. You remember when 45 was president? He basically wanted us, he wanted us out of NATO.
Right.
And the purpose of that was he felt that we didn't benefit from NATO. We were the ones that was carrying the load. We were the heavy lifters.
Yeah.
None of the other countries were carrying their weight.
Right.
You know, United Kingdom, Poland, Scotland,
France, UK, Canada, France, England,
Germany. Yeah. So he wanted it, he wanted out of NATO. And in hindsight, if we had pulled out and stayed out, this crisis would be a lot uglier than it is today.
Yes.
Okay. We probably, and we don't know this yet. It's yet to be told whether or not there's actual chemical warfare, chemical weapons being used, as well as nuclear weapons. We don't know yet. But we know the threat is there.
Right.
And the only reason it hasn't happened is because of the NATO forces,
right?
United forces of NATO. I totally agree. I get that part about the money. Huge sums of money is being poured into this Ukrainian effort. Right, wrong, or indifferent, it's happening. There's another story that we don't even talk about, is over in Yemen, right? That war has been going on for years, and we have a vested interest in that war too, that we're throwing billions of dollars at.
Yeah.
He couldn't give them the money if Congress didn't allow it.
Hey, there you go. And just to go on your point, Marianne, again, she says, but they don't do that for Somalia or any other countries. The only reason they're doing it for Ukraine is because it's involving Russia going against a white country, period. That's a comment from Marianne Zutz.
Okay. And you know the proximity. Look at the proximity of Ukraine and Russia, right? They share a common border.
Right, right.
And Ukraine at one time was a part of Russia.
We're a part of Russia.
It's a breakaway state, if you will. It became independent with the fall of Russia, as we know it anyway.
Yes.
Matter of fact, that's where Chernobyl is.
Right. That's where they were at, in Chernobyl. Yep. Kicking up all that radioactive dust.
I thought that was ironic that one of the places that they first took over was Chernobyl. And I was like, why?
That's smart.
Yeah.
Why? That's nobody's smart. There, right?
Nobody's there.
Yeah, it's they were supposed to entomb that place so the radiation wouldn't get away. And then what they do, they attack a nuclear reactor plant.
Right.
I mean, like, these guys aren't smart at all, man. Really not. Go ahead, Pastor. Did you say?
No, go ahead.
Oh. So, again, Putin, unfortunately, has an evil mind, guys, right? We understand that.
It's facts. It's just facts.
Yeah. Yeah. And for 45, to say that he admires this guy is also scary. For the simple reason is, I would hate to think what would have happened to these people if he was president today, right? I mean, the only reason he hasn't probably leveled Ukraine, made it a parking lot, is the fear of retribution from a military standpoint. He is feeling the brunt of the financial sanctions that is being put on Russia. Okay, that country, you know, they're really good at controlling the media. So the only time that we get information out of them, out of those places, is through maybe through the BBC or some of the other countries that might have some kind of leverage in Russia.
Right.
Everything is shut down. There's only one television station, which is owned, you know, which is ran by Russia. The rest of them are put out of business because of the propaganda. Mm-hmm. To say that, you know, the reason we're in Ukraine is because of they're practicing neo-Nazism.
Hmm. Yeah, let's face facts. Okay, Russia has used a supersonic missile already, and the thing is that this is what the news is saying, and you can get your opinion on it. That Putin's generals are afraid to tell them how they're doing in the Ukraine, because if you got 200,000 people on your border with tanks and ships and stuff like that, you would have thought that thing would have been over in a week. But not so fast.
Not so fast. Pump your brakes. Well, there's two generals that they haven't been able to locate or talk to that gave him a briefing as to, you know, some of the situations that they've encountered in Ukraine. And unfortunately, those guys haven't been seen recently. So therefore, the other generals are reluctant to even talk about the situation to Putin. They are in negotiations, supposedly, for a ceasefire. I don't have a clue as to what the terms or the conditions of the ceasefire could even entail that would allow him to stop what he's doing. Right.
Well, one of the things is that he didn't want Ukraine to join NATO was one of the things.
Mm-hmm.
So, we got this war over there. I'm sitting up. It's Friday night. Just got paid. And I'm feeling right. All right. So how is this going to affect me? How is this affecting me?
Well, short term. and we'll do long term. Short term is if you're going out Friday, you got to get your car. You got to have gas in your car so you can do the, you know, make your tour.
Go through the hood.
Okay.
Right. You got to go.
Right.
You know, maybe you want to go to Detroit, Chicago. I don't know. It's going to cost you an additional dollars in order to make that trip.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to stop and eat, it's going to cost you additional dollars for that. If you want to stop and stay someplace, spring break, so everybody's raised their prices for spring break. And whatever you do, it's going to cost you more.
Mm-hmm.
You want to fly somewhere?
It's going to cost you more. I looked at plane tickets the other day, Brother Roberts, and it was ridiculous.
How
about you, Burns?
Oh, that's man, I've been checking, man, and it's just you can get somewhere, but you can't get back.
Can't get back.
Yeah.
No, who wants that? Now, long term, guys, unfortunately, it's going to, you know, the numbers you gave about unemployment, those are all great numbers. But there's no way that we're going to be able to sustain the economic growth that we are experiencing right now.
Right.
Because prices are going to get to the point where goods and services can't be purchased.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People don't have the discretionary income to make those purchases. The first thing that you watch is the housing market, which you've already seen indications in the housing market of a slowdown.
Yes.
The next one is going to be the automobile industry. Okay. The supply chain has already dampened the production for the automakers. They're, even currently today, they're still shuttering plants because they can't produce those products.
Right.
But not only that, when you drive by a dealership now, the new cars are the big SUVs. That inventory is starting to climb. I have a friend of mine that's a dealer in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and I happened to speak to him this morning about sales and how they were doing. And it's like, he says, well, we're starting to build inventory on the large SUVs.
Mm-hmm.
People are not buying. I mean, at one time he says, man, if I had a Tahoe come in here, I had a Denali, I had an Escalade, I couldn't keep it on my lot. They're gone. And his lot has 3,000-4,000 cars on it. They're starting to build inventory. I had a guy come in, great. He said the car was immaculate, beautiful SUV. The guy's trying to unload it because he wanted to, try to make a purchase on a new home before the interest rates went too high. He had a dollar amount that he felt that vehicle was worth. And he says, nope, we're not paying that because there's no market for that anymore.
Right.
Mm.
Okay. So we went through this dilemma once with the automobile industry where we got caught looking the other way,
mm-hmm.
and it resulted in a downturn in that industry where they had to retool. You know, we went to the smaller vehicles and what have you, and then things got better and we went back to this, to the gas guzzlers. Mm-hmm. That's what Americans want. We want the big cars, but now we're back in that boat again, and it is not going to be a quick fix.
Yeah.
These gas prices are going to remain at this level for mm-hmm. quite some time.
Yeah.
At least a year.
Even war or no war, these gas prices are going to remain because they saved the war, but basically greed, right?
Greed. Let's call it what it is. It's greed, man. As simple as that. So, again, we talked about earlier about the urgency to really ramp up the production of the electric vehicles. And your guest made a point earlier about, yes, you know, there's a certain material that you need, the nickel and the copper that has to be mined. And yeah, that's probably coming out of a, you know, some third world country where the people probably don't even have, they're not making enough to eat, but yet it's a component that they need to produce these batteries and they will get it. Okay.
I was looking at a show and what they were doing in South America and the rainforest, they're just destroying it. Two things. For gold, and that mm-hmm. gold is to not only make jewelry, but to make those chips, but also the wood. They're taking mm-hmm. the wood and just destroying it because we have to have those great floors in our homes.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And you know how much cost, I mean, you know, a year ago, it wouldn't have cost as much as it does now. But now it's going to be twice as much.
Yeah.
Just because of transportation.
Yeah.
Pastor Burns.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and one of the things you mentioned, we think we're taking a bite in this country, but in Europe, who's way more dependent, you know, we need to have an appreciation for them banding together, you know, and what they're taking, how they're taking the financial hit during this war.
Great point, Pastor Burns, because they're experiencing 3 to 4 times as much as we are. For the simple reason, gas had already been high in those countries, right? I mean, in liters. Most of their gas is produced in liters, but they were already high. And the dependency on some of the numbers we mentioned earlier about the European continent being so dependent on Russia for their oil and natural gas.
So
they will definitely take a bigger hit than we will. So we are a global economy. So if we catch a cold in America, the world will probably get pneumonia.
Yeah.
That's how bad it's going to be.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So, yeah.
What, as a Joe Blow citizen, what should I be concentrating and focusing on right now? Should I be writing my congressperson instead of sitting back and letting this happen?
Well, that's an excellent, excellent question. First of all, I would have to say that as an individual in this country, cash is always going to be king. So you need to be able to preserve as much cash as possible in order to maintain your household, your standard of living. And you may have to, you know, cut out some things in order to maintain that cash reserve that we'll need at some point in time in the future, this year, next year. I guess you could write your congressman, your senators, and see what happens, Brother Roberts. I don't know what to even write it and ask them.
Well,
you know.
And I think you make a good point, though. That whatever end of the political spectrum you're on, is you got to think a little broader than what can Congress sit there and do.
Mm-hmm.
Stop waiting on them to do it. Because I haven't received my Ukraine-Russia check.
You haven't?
I haven't received mine. Have you received your Ukraine-Russia check?
Not coming. I'm waiting on my MCAA check from the state of Michigan.
Right.
You haven't gotten that.
I'm still waiting on that check, that insurance check, too. Listen, people, first of all, I want to say this. We're not insensitive to what's going on over
there.
Yes.
Second thing is that we do care for the people of Ukraine that are fighting this senseless war and the Russian people that are being told all these lies about why they should be fighting the war. So we are praying for those people. But what we're saying is, and they couldn't come up with a bill or a resolution to give money in our own country. But yet, all of a sudden, we have a war, Ukraine, Russia, and it's like you said, it's all about Russia, and NATO, and so we're giving money like it's like falling out of a tree.
Yep, we're printing it up. Let me give you something to think about. It's so ironic. I go back to 45. You remember the whole situation about the impeachment, the first impeachment?
Yeah.
Do you know who he was talking to? Who were the people that he was talking to in his foreign country? The Ukrainians.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give us that dirt on
And wait a minute.
Bidens.
Before you go there, because I don't want people to say that we're picking on President Trump.
No.
These are actual words that he said this week. He said that, why is it that he gets in trouble when he calls Che from China smart, or why he calls Putin smart? That's quote. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we're just reporting the facts of what he said. And so we have a war that's going on, And that's what he's saying. On the other side, we have President Biden. And I want to, Melvin, what do you think about what he's done so far?
I kind of agree with Tony. I don't know what else, you know, we don't like seeing the money go there. We know there are some domestic issues, but we can't sit back and not participate with this war with Ukraine. We can't not pull back from NATO. Again, we don't want to pick on, you know, we try to talk about the truth in these things, but we needed to be a part of NATO. We see that now more than ever before.
We have to be a part of NATO.
It'd be nice to, you know, it's always nice to say, well, what about the money we could have used here? Well, it didn't happen. But we still got to support Ukraine.
Absolutely.
You know, we see what's happening. We see the kind of person Putin is. So I don't know many things that Congress could do on that side that they're not already doing.
Well, Tony, you want to address that?
Yeah. Build back better, right?
Right. Yeah.
We fought over that.
Yes.
And I truly believe that was a very good proposal for this country.
Yes.
I really do. The infrastructure has been neglected for years. We really need it, you know, and part of that was getting back to, you know, going to a greener economy, you know, getting away from the dependency of oil. And here's a clear indication that, in my opinion, we were headed down the right road.
Yeah,
and right. He should have gotten the support that he needed to push this thing along. And I want to piggyback on what Pastor Burns is saying is that, you know, unfortunately, you know, we're kind of looking back at the Cold War, because if we didn't get ourselves involved in the Ukraine, then it's going to be Poland next. And then it'll be another country next, because ultimately Russia wants to control the entire European continent.
Yes.
For resources, for political purposes, the whole nine yards. That's really what the ultimate goal of this Putin regime wants.
But we shouldn't be shocked about that, because Russia has always been that way.
Yeah, until Gorbachev, right? Gorbachev tore down the wall.
Right.
That was Nixon's big thing. Open up trade with Russia. And at one time we had a, you know, really good working relationship, trade with Russia. And through the various regimes, it's gotten back to that old oligarch type of thinking where we want to control as much territory on the continent of Europe as possible.
Well, Gorbachev with the wall.
Yeah.
So, and Reagan, they had that relationship. But still, when it came down to it, look who they put in place. Russia is still Russia.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we're buying 3% of oil from Russia. And
we
products
know
and services. But they're not buying anything from us.
No. No.
All right, Tony. Man, the show went. Promise me you'll come back. Tell people about about your business and how they can get a hold of you.
Okay. Farmers Insurance, located in downtown Muskegon, 752 Pine Street. We service the home, your auto, your life insurance, your business. Also, I'm a licensed broker, so I can do any kind of investment trades that you may need, set up any kind of retirement plan, or for your children, your grandchildren. So come by, give me a call. Number is 231-903-0314, and see if I can help you out.
All right. Thank you so much, Tony Williams, Pastor Melvin Burns. Brother, thank you so much again. Time flew again, so we're going to have Tony back.
Definitely.
And Marianne and Michael, there were a couple questions that you had. We didn't get a chance to get to them because that's our time for the day. Let me get this on because that's your number. Thank you, Marianne Zeus.
Marianne.
Thank you. So anyway, you've been listening and watching Tony too. We're gonna have Tony back because this is so much stuff to talk about. This affects you. Don't sit down waiting for something to happen. Tony 2, April 1st. go sow a seed in somebody's life. All right. Take care.
Sir. God bless. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Roberts. Brother Burns, Pastor Burns, take care.
Yes, you too, sir.